All right, we better get started. It's getting a little rowdy. So, when my dad would preach on little sleep, we would always be like, oh, that was a good one, Dad. Like, you were funny in that sermon. So I got back at 1:30 from a race last night in Colorado, so we'll see how this goes. All right, turn to James. We don't have the screen this morning. We didn't have anyone to run it, so we'll have to flip there on our own. All right, so, and as you turn there, we'll go ahead and get started. I would like to share some wisdom with you, but this isn't my wisdom. I want to share with you wisdom from the Word of God, and what is wisdom according to the Word of God? We're faced with countless decisions every day, right? And they range from, well, what do I have for breakfast, right? Do I have cereal, French toast, pancake? What do I have to for breakfast to how do I provide for my family, like just overall in general? So like small decisions, big decisions, they range from, well, what do I wear in the morning? What do I wear to work? What do I into, like, what career do I have? What job do I do? How do I spend my time? So big and small decisions alike, or who do I vote for, or should I watch this movie? What is watching this movie beneficial, or can I watch this and still maintain a pure mind, a pure heart? What car should I purchase? What siding should I get for my house? Right, Abe? All sorts of decisions. How do I lead my family right? How do I parent God's way? How do I how do I lead the youth group in seeking after God? How do I best stand for truth at school and in my community where their values, teachings, ideas are different from what I believe God's word says I should stand on? So decisions. What to do, always we must be seeking wisdom in our decisions. But not just any wisdom, right? We don't want the world's wisdom, which I was talking with a friend last night on the way home, and we were talking, and I'm like, well, really, it's the world's wisdom isn't wisdom at all, right? It's folly, which they would see the cross and Christ as folly, but we see the world and the way it's going as folly. We must seek wisdom from above. So in all these situations that God allows or places in our lives, how do I know the right thing to do? Who should I hang out with at school, right, for the youth group crew here, the few here? And how do I know who to hang out with, or how do I spend my free time, or where should I go to college, or who should I marry? I'm still figuring that one out. should I or when should I retire, right? In all stages of life, we need wisdom. And we must seek that wisdom from above, from God. And James in Proverbs have a lot to say about that. So in James 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." So we know if we're asking God for wisdom, he will give us wisdom in his timing. That's his nature. He wants to help us in this area. We must seek wisdom from above. But not all wisdom is equal in value. Like we mentioned, like earthly wisdom, which isn't really wisdom at all, it's not the same as the wisdom we find in Scripture. And just like as a way to illustrate this, last weekend, like Dean and I and several from the church, we were at Merit Youth Retreat. And so I brought Paxton and James and Mo down to camp. And I get on the road and I'm like, "Hey Siri, take me to Davis Creek Reservoir." And it's like, okay. I found one option, and so that's great. it's like I found one option, and the option's like, okay, it's about an hour and a half away, like an hour 26 minutes or something. I said, and I'm driving, I'm on the road, I'm heading out of town, so I look at my phone and I just see, okay, hour and a half, that's about right. And so I get going to Broken Bow, and I go past, and I go to Ansley, and then it says to turn south, and I'm like, that's a little funny. But I do it anyway, because I'm like, well, I don't exactly know where it's at. I was there last year, so I should have, but it's been a year, so I forgot. I'm not the details person. I'm the people person. So I'm just talking, and we're listening to music, and I go south, and I get down there a ways, and then I'm all of a sudden, I'm in Miller, and I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, this is way too far. I know it's not down here. I knew it was out east somewhere. Series wisdom can be skewed, right? Maybe it's probably my fault. Series wisdom, the world's wisdom, Google's wisdom, is not necessarily right all the time. There is value in some of that, right? But the main way we should be seeking wisdom, seeking knowledge in how to act in everyday situations is seeking wisdom from above. That's the point there. We can get wisdom from all sorts of places, even valuable wisdom from unbelievers, and we can learn from them, but that is not our main source of wisdom. Our primary source of wisdom should be from our Lord, from His Word. And Scripture has a lot to say about wisdom, particularly in Proverbs and James. But wisdom, it's speckled all throughout Scripture, and what is wisdom? A good definition that I sort of pieced together from a bunch of sources that I saw, wisdom is knowing how to live and applying that knowledge. And James says in like James 2, it's do not be hearers of the word only, but doers also. Do not be hearers only, but doers also. And so I think that's a good definition of wisdom too. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just knowing what to do. It's actually living it out. It's actually doing what you know is right. It's not just having knowledge or knowing a lot of facts. It is what you know lived out. Wisdom is knowing how to live and applying that knowledge. Wisdom, true wisdom, is also a gift of God. Wisdom is a gift from God. And in the Old Testament, you think of like Joseph, when he had his dreams and revelation from God, he was viewed as a wise man by the world around him, right? Or with Daniel, when it was the same sort of thing with him. When he would have dreams or visions, and he was looked at as smart, but it's sort of interesting. He shifted that focus back to God. He's like, no, it's not me. It's God who's revealing these things to me. So you have that. You see God gave Solomon wisdom, right, as well. Claimed to be the smartest, not claimed. He was, because God gave him that wisdom, one of the smartest people to ever live. But even in that, right, he was wise, he was smart, but he was not without flaw either, right? It says in his old age, he started taking on a lot of wives and worshiping their gods as well. So just because you have head knowledge doesn't mean you're always going to do the right thing. It still takes abiding with Christ, staying with him, that gives you the ability to be wise, to live it out. So 2 Chronicles 1, 10 through 12, I'll read a few verses from Solomon's life there. And God goes to him at night, and he asks, what can I give you? And this is what Solomon asked for. 2 Chronicles 1, 10 through 12. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or life, all things that would amplify him, right? That would make his life more enjoyable, so to speak, in the world's eyes. those selfish things. You haven't asked for those things. Or the life of those who hate you and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you and none after you shall have the like. So this is a specific promise made to Solomon, but we're given that promise right in James, that not for the possessions and wealth. We're promised that he's going to take care of us, right? If he takes care of the sparrow, he's going to take care of us as well. But here in James, we also see that God gives wisdom to believers who ask in faith. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And here's a caveat here, right, in the next verse. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That is not who I want to be. I don't want to be an unstable young man. I want to be seeking wisdom from above. And I was shown this verse in college, and it's really stuck with me through the years. James 1, 5. Their wisdom is a gift from God that he gives when we ask of him and are staying in tune with him. When we are confused or discouraged or anxious in a situation, when we're fearful, that is when I find that I make the worst decisions, right? And that's what I think we all find there. But when we ask of God, when we take our time when possible and seek the Lord's will in situations, that's when we can, with God's help, make the best decisions, right? Because he will give wisdom when we ask of him in faith. There's a time to be wise and discerning. There's a time to move forward in faith. There's a time to wait, a time to go forward. Each of us sort of tend one way or the other, to be too cautious maybe, or to maybe, oh no, it'll all be all right, I'll just go for it. And it takes wisdom in those situations to know what to do. Wisdom is given by God to help us know the next step, not necessarily the whole journey. Proverbs 16:9, it says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." God will plant our feet in the next step. It doesn't say he's going to reveal the whole journey to us, right? But he will reveal the next step. The Lord establishes his steps. So wisdom, it is a gift from God. And well, what is the beginning of wisdom? Say, I want to go about having wisdom. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? We find that in Psalms. We find that in Proverbs quite a few times. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's one or the other, right? You're either wise or you're a fool. So the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. In the Old Testament and in history, it's interesting. The fear of the gods is always present. It's always a cowering in fear. It's always present in other religions, but only in Israel in the Old Testament was the fear of God linked so closely and clearly with having wisdom. You fear God, you have wisdom. They're linked together. A good definition of the fear of the Lord, sometimes I'll explain it simply to the youth group or to Awana as just a reverence or respect, but really it goes a little bit further than that. It's more encompassing than just having a respect for God. A good definition was in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's to recognize God's character and respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving him. So it's understanding all of who God is and responding accordingly, to knowing who God is and responding correctly to that by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving him. So that's a mouthful and something that we can continue to dwell on, something that that eventually we want our kiddos to get to, right, of understanding exactly all of what fearing the Lord is. But revering is a good place to start. Respecting who God is, that's a good simple definition. But really it's understanding all of who God is and responding by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, serving. When we fear God, a part of that is recognizing he is in complete control. He is loving. He has a purpose for everything. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Psalm 111:10 says about the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're getting the point now. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, understanding who he is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. That's Psalm 111:10. When our Lord is at the center of our lives, when we are fearing him, that is when Scripture says we are wise. If we want to be wise individuals, we better start with the foundation of fearing the Lord by recognizing God's character and responding by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, serving him. So what is wisdom? It is knowing how to live and applying that knowledge. It's not just in our head, it's wisdom when we live out that knowledge that we have of God, that we have of how he wants us to live. It is a gift from God, and we see it's given to people in the Old Testament, and it's a promise to us today in James that if we ask of God, we can have wisdom, and he will give wisdom in his timing. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. If we do not have a fear of God in our lives, our decisions will be off-center. They will not be, the decisions won't be the best that we can do with God's help. So now if you want to flip a page over, James 3:13 through 18, it goes into a little more detail here. That's sort of how James works. He sort of goes in loops. He shares about a little snippet about wisdom, and then he shares more like little topic stuff, and then he loops back to wisdom eventually there in James 3. All right, James 3:13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Wow. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. True wisdom is humble. True wisdom is humble. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. It's not coming across as I'm better than you. Remember, any wisdom you or I have is a gracious gift from God. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. Wisdom is something that you are able to show as well, right? We see that here in James 3:13. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And back in the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy, this is Moses speaking of the law and Israel following the law. Deuteronomy 4:6, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So the Israelites' wisdom was shown through their obedience to the law. That is how people would see Israel if they kept the law, as wise, right? This wasn't something they were then to boast in, right? That's not what it says. Oh, yeah, boast in your wisdom and you following the law. That's not what it says at all. And Paul said that the only thing that he could boast in and that we should boast in is the cross, is in Christ, right? That's the only thing good in us that produces righteousness in our life. Wisdom is shown through actions, and true wisdom is shown humbly. It's not coming across as, I'm better than you. True wisdom is neither envious nor selfish. True wisdom is neither envious nor selfish. James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So it's sharing two extremes here. If you're wanting what another has, that's not wisdom. God has you where you are for a purpose, and I need to remember that. We need to remember that. If you are being smart and saying and doing the right things just to get ahead in life, that's that selfish ambition, right? If you're just acting the way you are for your own personal gain, that is not wisdom, it says here. If you are saying you are wise, but you are being envious or selfish, if we're saying that, then you are false to the truth. And that's a little interesting way to put it there, false to the truth. But basically it means you're wrong. If you're being selfish or if you're being envious, that's not true wisdom. And we really have to search our motives in those situations, because it's like, oh man, no, I don't have selfish ambition. I don't have bitter jealousy. Those sound really bad, but we need to be careful, search our hearts so that those are not creeping into our lives. This envious, selfish thing going on is not from above. It is earthly in contrast to heavenly, right? We need to be seeking the things of above. Colossians 3:1 shares that with us. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. And Satan tempted Eve with knowledge, right? With the knowledge of good and evil. Like, you could have that if you have this. If you have this fruit, that selfish ambition is something that Adam and Eve were tempted by. That is not knowledge, this passage says. If everyone is seeking their own desires, it is total chaos. And I think of the times in the Judges, I've been reading that lately, where everyone's just doing what's right in their own eyes, and what chaos that caused in the book of Judges. And we see glimpses of, honestly, that chaos in society today a little bit, right? With everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. We get glimpses of that. Also, we get glimpses of that in our lives, right? When we aren't living according to what God's word says, our lives can start going off the rails as well. Proverbs 16:2, it says, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." We have a way of justifying ourselves, right? I feel like I do this at times, of saying, they deserved it, or if they did it to me, it's okay, or it's okay if this or if that. And if we have to start our justification of something in our lives with if, then it's probably wrong. There's a strong possibility that whatever that thought, word, action was wrong. If you have to say, if it's okay if this happens or if that happens, and you're not psyching God out there, and I have to remember that. You're not confusing God. God knows the heart. God knows the heart. The Lord weighs the spirit. He knows true wisdom. He is personified as wisdom, actually, at times. Jesus is mentioned as wisdom, says, but wisdom says at times. Jesus is personified as wisdom. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Don't kid yourself. No form of these are wise. If you're trying to get ahead with your smarts, or if you're looking to others, you're wanting what they have, you're wondering, how can I get what they have? That's not wise. That's not what we should be doing. True wisdom is pure or holy. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure. First pure. It is not messed up by selfishness or envy creeping in. It is pure. True wisdom is peaceable. It's peaceable or peace-loving, you might have in your Bible. True wisdom loves when there is peace. And that doesn't mean that when you have wisdom in your life, it's going to be peaceful. Nothing bad's going to happen. That's not what this means. But when you have wisdom, you desire there to be peace. And when Jesus came, right, he didn't come warring. He didn't come conquering. He came in peace, right? That is true wisdom. And we learn in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 that the cross is offensive to unbelievers and will stir up unrest. But we as believers have a desire to promote peace overall, right? It won't always come across to unbelievers as peaceful or as something loving, but nonetheless, we need to share truth with them. True wisdom is peaceable. True wisdom is gentle. Gentle. James 3:17, as it's going on, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. And perhaps a better translation here you might have in your Bible is considerate. Considerate. But the idea here, regardless of translation, is being aware and sensitive to the needs of others. That is wisdom, is keeping in mind others' needs and what they are needing in each situation. That's wisdom. True wisdom is open to reason, is open to reason. That means we're able to learn from others. We're not just stuck up in our own ways and wanting to do it our way without a good reason. We're willing to learn from others. That's not compromising in truth, right? But we're willing to learn from those. I'm willing to learn from those older than me, older in the faith. That's what I need to be seeking, and each of us should be able to learn, regardless of age. Proverbs 1:5, it says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." So even if you have wisdom, if you have your wisdom from God, and you're receiving that from Him, and you're fearing the Lord, you have all the basics right. If you are wise, you will want to continue to learn. That the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Through the things that happen in life and the things that are shared with us, wisdom is knowing how to learn from others. True wisdom is open to reason. True wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. James 3:17, it continues, wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. When others are hurting, true wisdom is relying on God to have the words to share with those that are struggling. Wisdom is shown by kindness, showing the fruit that comes from a relationship with Christ. And we remember the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. True wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. True wisdom is impartial and sincere. It continues there. Wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It shows its face in every situation. That's true wisdom. It's not come and go. Wisdom should be a part of our lives at all times. It should show its face in every situation, in our conversations with all. That is what we should be desiring with God's help. Not that we're going to be perfect in that, right? But that should be our desire, is to have wisdom in all situations. Genuine, we should be genuine and open about the things in our life, the things that we see in others. Not beating around the bush, but getting to the point, but sharing what God has laid on your heart in gentleness and mercy. Like, all these things go together. We don't just want to share something that we see wrong or see something in our own life. We want to get to the point, but with gentleness and mercy, we need to share what we know is right from God's word. True wisdom results in righteousness from peace, in righteousness from peace. If we continue on, James 3:18, And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, it says here, the truly wise man is a man of peace. The truly wise man is a man of peace. Seek to be at peace with your neighbor. Each one next to you, when you sense something amiss, deal with it, right? Deal with it. If you sense something that's off, don't linger with it. That's wisdom. We must seek wisdom from above. And there are things to learn in the world that are not bad at all, right? We can learn from the things we see in the world. Sometimes we learn by example, but we also learn by good example and by bad example of what not to do. So we can learn from the world, but we also need to remember true wisdom is from God. It is given by God. True wisdom begins with a fear of God, right? That fear is recognizing God's character, responding by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, serving him. It is not truly being wise if we are being jealous or self-seeking in our life dealings. That way of thinking is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And that's not what I want to be doing. Sin present in our lives can skew our decision-making. To be right with God, asking him for direction, will yield the purest decisions, the best decisions. And my challenge for myself, as I've been studying through this, and my challenge for you guys as well, is to genuinely, in faith, seek the Lord for wisdom in situations in your life, in relationships in your life, is asking God for wisdom. That's our what our challenge needs to be this week based on God's word. James 1:5-8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we seek wisdom, let's seek it in faith. Let's seek it in faith, knowing that God will give us his wisdom in his timing. So a challenge for us, genuinely seek wisdom in faith. Another challenge is just to continue when you're led in your studies of Proverbs and James. Very practical wisdom for us. So this week, let's focus on seeking wisdom from above, not worldly wisdom, but wisdom from above in faith. And let's continue as we're led in studying Proverbs, James, and there's so many practical nuggets of wisdom in those places. 1 Corinthians 1:2 give a good commentary, a good understanding on the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, the battle that's there. So keep those in mind as well. So I just want to encourage you in that. So let's seek wisdom from above this week. And last, let's ask in faith together as we close in prayer here. So. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the ability for us to come together to worship you. Give us pure hearts and minds as we go into our week. Lord, in just the various situations that you've placed each of us in for a reason, I just pray that you give us wisdom in those. And we trust that you will give us wisdom in your timing in each of those situations. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. You're dismissed.